is this really true? You really do. You got to kind of reach that point. Did Jesus ever teach us to get ready for what we just experienced? What our brothers and sisters in Christ? Truth is, He did. He really did. So what we're going to be talking about for about the next 15 minutes is the cost of Christianity. The cost of Christianity. Now, when we think about the cost of Christianity, we come back to this central truth. Eternal life is free. Now, some people like to see the word free and just walk out on that one. Say, that's good enough. I got it. Let's move on. But I want you to know eternal life is free. It's not something you work for. In fact, Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who's athirst, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost." You like that? Anybody? Yeah. Amen. All right. You like that. Okay. You come without cost. Now that sounds pretty good. Look at this. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Like that? Yes. Amen. It's a gift. It's free. It's a gift. Now, are you ready to get on board? Discipleship will cost you your life. Now, wait a minute. You just talked to me about stuff that's free. I want the freebie, but I don't want that which costs me something. Discipleship for Jesus Christ will literally cost you your life. Here's what we're going to be consulting. Are you willing to surrender? Surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to commit yourself and commit everything that you are to Him and your possessions? Are you willing to surrender all that you have and all that you are and all that your team? Are you willing to surrender your design in life? This is my plan in life. Well, if God, if I can work you into the plan. No, you don't say, "God, if I can work you in." God, you work me into your plan. That's the design. And then the devotion comes into this picture. The devotion, are you totally devoted over to what He's doing? Now, you are writing fast. I'm fixing to go over each one of these, so that'll help you out. Number one, surrender. Luke 14, 26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." You telling me what? Yeah. I'm talking about total surrender. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is not greater than all other relationships, you can't check the block. Surrender. Secondly, commitment. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, each one of us. Now, when you look at that word cross, it's not that beautiful ornament that you wear around your neck. It's the suffering in which Jesus Christ died for. And that in your life in which you experience the pains of your life. And all that you go through. If you're not willing to take your cross. And then secondly says, come after me. You can't be my disciple. Oh, wait a minute, I just wonder what's free. I don't get it. What about your possessions? So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. If you do not give up everything that you are, everything that you have, your bank account with all the zeros behind the ones, if you don't give that to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be His disciples. Preacher, are you asking for money this morning? No, I'm asking for you. If a man gives their life, their pocketbook comes with them. The pocketbook don't come with them, then they don't really give Jesus Christ their life. Amen. It all comes together here. Forsaking all. For we are, what about your design? What about your plan? I mean, all those goals that you had set up. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You see your plans in life. Wait a minute. What I plan to do, I plan to get my high school education. Then I'm going to college and I'm going to get my degree. After I get my degree, then I'm going to get a wife. And after I get a wife, I'm going to get a job. And after I get a job, I'm going to get some kids. And after I get some kids, I'm going to retire. And after I retire, then I'm going to sit back. It doesn't work that way, does it? You see the design and all that you have? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance. I know how you're wired. You remember this lady that we saw? She was broken. God said, I know it. I knew it. Now I'm ready to use you. He's prepared that way. What about your devotion? It says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, we're picking up on that word free again. You shall know the truth. But he says what? He says, if you continue in my word. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I did read a verse last week. No, it was 2 weeks ago. If you continue in my word, continue means you get in it. You invest your life in it. You spend time in it. It's not once a week, get a dose on Sunday morning and it's all good. It's not that way. You got to continue in the Word. And continued means read it, in many cases, memorize it, digest it, think on it. If you continue in my Word, then you're going to know the truth. You don't continue in my Word, you're not going to discover it. You're not going to know the freedom unless you get into the Word. Remember? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Truth comes at a cost. Make no bones about it. Truth comes at a cost. Four pictures representing four characters that we're about to cover here real quick. Then we're moving into the book of Mark and our continual study through the book of Mark, the life of Jesus Christ. Top left hand, guy named Herod, Herod Antipas. He is one of the Herods. He received about a third of the kingdom of his father. This guy is a bad dude. But he's a king. He's a ruler. Controlled life and death. Man of authority. The guy next to him represents that of John. John, also known as the baptizer. He's also the same guy that looked upon Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He's the guy that had disciples who taught his disciples how to pray, how to fast. He's this guy who pointed out Jesus, but he's also the same guy that because he told the truth, he was thrown into prison. Because that next picture up there is a picture representation of Herodias. Herodias was Philip's wife. But Philip wasn't giving her all the power and the prestige and all the fame that she wanted. So, when Herod went to visit his brother Philip, she hooked him or he hooked her, I can't tell you. Or they hooked each other. And he took his brother's wife. Moved back to Judea. John the Baptist, you remember him? He said, "Herodias, Herod, it's not legal for you to take her to be your wife." Deuteronomy says that a man should not uncover his brother's wife. As long as Philip was alive, he couldn't marry her, but he did. Herodias got it in for John. And she said, "I want to kill him." Why? Because he spoke the truth. Last picture represents a young girl with name Salome. Salome is the daughter of Herodias. Herodias would have taught her how to look, how to dress, how to dance the lust dances, and how to use her feminineness and get anything that she wanted, and how to use evil to accomplish what she wanted. She learned from her mother. And so the scene is set. Mark chapter 6. Truth stings the conscience where sin has created a stronghold. Truth, the truth of John the Baptist. The sting Herod married his brother's wife. The living sin that was connected in this picture. And now all of a sudden, when the truth comes into the picture, the sting occurs. Not to give it up. Truth has either got to be received, rejected, or done away with. Herodias wanted to do away with the truth. And King Herod, Mark chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to be looking 14 through 19. And King Herod heard of it, for his name had become well known, and the people were saying, John the Baptist has risen from the dead. And that is why these miraculous powers that work with him. Oh, this is Herod. This is the guy that had John the Baptist put to death. This is the guy now when he sees Jesus walking. Now this is taking place after the death of John, okay? When he sees Jesus walking around doing all of these miracles, he says, I know who's doing that. It's John the Baptist, the guy that I killed. Because he was a righteous man. He was a holy man. And I killed him. Rejection. Rejection of the truth produces conflict. When truth comes into the position where there is error, you can be assured that conflict is going to occur. How did it occur? For Herod himself had sinned and had John arrested and bound him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death and could not do so. Herodias, as powerful as she was behind Herod. She wanted this guy dead because it came into conflict with her wants. The grudge was set. Did this woman ever give up that grudge? Did this woman ever back off? Was she in her mind, was she plotting every way that she could so that she could kill those who were in opposition to her? Was she there behind this scene? Truth is a two-edged sword. It produces perplexity and enjoyment. Truth? Yeah. What happened? Here we'll read about it. For Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed. Now, you know what perplexed means? Puzzled. At a loss for words. When he listened to John, he had nothing that he could say back to him because John spoke truth. He became perplexed in what he was hearing. But listen to this craziness. But he used to enjoy listening to him. Do you like somebody to tell you the truth? Even when it hurts? Yeah. When you know that person is speaking truth. Perplexed, loss of words, enjoyed listening to him. Herod was probably the only man that was standing between life and death for John. He made him safe, enjoyed listening to him. But the truth. What happened to truth? Truth cost John his life. You suppose over in Iran that truth is going to cost some people their lives? That's a fact. I was reading this morning that they're the per capita, they execute more people than any other nation. They also take and hang people out in the public, just like the Old West. They practice cutting people's members off as a result of crimes. They also practice punching their eyes out as a result of crimes. For truth, John's life was taken for truth. A strategic came when Herod was on his birthday, gave a banquet for his lords and the military commandments and was leading of Galilee. And when the daughter Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guest. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom." It doesn't say what kind of dance it was. I can only imagine this banquet with the wine flowing, with those in power enjoying themselves, and when this less than dressed, beautiful young lady comes in and she dances her dance, that the lust, the desires filled the hearts and minds of those there. She pleased them with her dance. And he made the vow, "Up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Herodias, the mother, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately, she came in and hurried to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." What do you do? You're a man in authority. What do you do? All your guests was pleased with the dance of this young lady. What do you do? You're in authority. Are people going to listen to you and look up to you? Are you going to say one thing and then are you going to cower down to the demands of this little girl, this young lady? Are you going to cower down in front of her? What are you going to do? And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oath and because of his dinner guest, he was unwilling to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded to bring back the head. And he went and had him beheaded in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother because of the truth. The fact about the matter is, truth lies beyond the grave. Truth lies beyond the grave. Are we talking about John the Baptist this morning? Yeah. Are we talking about one of the greatest men born of women, but he who's in the kingdom of God is even greater than John the Baptist? Are we talking about, have we forgotten John? Have we forgotten the truth that John said? Have we got the truth that John lived? Have we forgotten the truth that John led his disciples? Have we forgotten the truth that John said about Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world? No, we have not forgotten. And the reason why is because truth lies beyond the grave. When his disciples heard about this, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. But the story's not over. I ask you, that which we learned about our brothers and sisters in Iran from personal, is it true? And I'd say, yes. I ask you this morning, the truth that we have as we stand before Jesus Christ, are we being called upon to answer to the words of truth just like they are? And we may say, well, where do I start? One, count the cost. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Two, surrender. Truth will set you free, but it requires your freedom. Three, confess. Admit your willingness to make Jesus as Lord of everything. Count the cost. Surrender. Confess lordship. Repent and apply the truth to every situation. That means change a direction. Number five, buy in. This is an all or nothing. Total buy-in is required. It's required. Not optional. So how do we sum it up? Christianity is free, but not cheap. Christianity is free, but it's not cheap. The cost of Christianity. You willing to pay the price? You got brothers and sisters in Iran that said, I'm willing to pay it. They are challenged in their environment just like you are challenged in your environment. They cannot walk in this land for you and you cannot walk in that land for them. Each one of us must walk before God because each one of us must carry our cross and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are come with the reality that Jesus Christ is all or nothing. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost us our life. And we know that when we are free, that's true freedom. And only in your word do you make us free. So, Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters who are in this room this day that we will consider the cause and we will make a conscious decision. It's not that we do not know how or what to do. It is, God, we know exactly what to do. And it calls upon a commitment. Total commitment. Total buy-in. Total surrender. Total commitment. Father, I confess to you that I am willing. And I trust you as my Lord and Savior. And I will follow you even to the place of death. And I will stand for Jesus Christ. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are in this room right now, that they too will join with me as we walk for you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ in Iran, that that nation will come to know Jesus Christ and that prayer would be answered of that one to whom's name I do not know, but he said that Iran would become the hub, the center, for those in the East to come to know Jesus Christ. I pray, God, grant that prayer. And today, Lord, we follow you because we surrender all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I challenge you this time to stand with me and sing a song to the Lord Jesus. Prayer altars are open. If you want to receive Christ, if you receive Christ, come let me know it. If you need me, bless you. This open commitment.